It's the Pine Room, and the show's about to start. No matter who you are, as long as you got a heart, this show's for you, and we're glad you're a part of something bigger than we know. The Pine Room, we're more than just a show.
All right, hello everybody. I got to do it like Job. 105, episode 105, Pine Room Podcast here in the Pine Room Studios. Matt, Jeff, and Chris holding it down while the fellas are on their way to Huntington or just arriving in Huntington for the big event, the Ignite West Virginia Bridging Innovation Week, where we're competing against five other businesses for a share of some capital and some investment in our business. So we're looking forward to seeing how the fellas do tomorrow. And I guess by the time you hear this, we'll either be real happy or real sad or kind of in between. And we'll worry about Coach's well-being because I know he's really going to be stressed out. Well, do you think Mark Delbrug will be pacing the house heavy tomorrow?
He's like, got sweaty palms already as we talk.
Well,
literally sweaty
Jeff,
palms.
Jeff, before you stopped in, got here, Lola stopped in and I said, well, because she thought the competition was today and said, no, it's tomorrow. And I said, we're keeping all the sharp objects and any artillery away. So keep an eye out up there, too. I mean, if you're home.
Just in case?
Yeah, because
you hear a big explosion.
Yeah, explosion.
Right.
Or I look in that front window and all I see is feet. That wouldn't be good, right?
No. Or just a bunch of blood on the window.
You know what's weird, though?
Jeez, I hope Patty escaped okay.
God. I don't consider it so weird. And I get it. Like, for him doing everything that he's done in his lifetime from a standpoint of being a coach from A to Z to all these games and things that he has announced and stuff, like he would not in your picture would not be the dude that gets nervous
because he never really showed nerves like when he was coaching. You're right.
Yeah, so like this is I mean, I guess when it comes to obviously his own kids, right, number one, and number two, he's got a vested interest in this business. So I think that's caused, I could see the nerve, not knocking him, he's not that dude to me.
Things like that are hard anyway, because even if you try to be calm or like, you know, composed, it can sometimes not go as well as you would plan, but you really can't control any of it. So
it's in their hands.
No. They presented it last night for Jeff and I. It's a nice presentation, and it goes well.
And I saw the picture of them at soup driving Jubb and Cooley down there, and Cooley and Jubb were both sleeping, but maybe they were just kind of running through their head they were going to say.
Whatever their note cards.
Right, maybe they really weren't sleeping.
That's it?
Yeah.
Have you guys ever had one of those moments? I have one distinctively, but I'm going to ask you guys first. Have you guys ever had one of those moments where you literally fucking shit the bed? You were either supposed to do some sort of presentation or you were supposed, whatever the case might be, did you have literally that's something vivid in your mind where you hands down shit the bed? I'll be honest, I'm a big believer in pressure driving, though. Like, I'm okay with pressure.
Some people are good at that.
Yeah, 100%.
Some people react well to pressure.
Yeah, and I seem to do much better that way, too, because I hate to admit it, but I've been a procrastinator all my life.
So have I.
I mean, with school and even work things, but then once I lock in, it's like I can get so much accomplished. But then once you do it, and if you do it the right way, I still say to myself, why'd you fucking wait so long? Why'd you stress yourself out knowing that you were up against the deadline? You got it done, but it's, I don't know.
I get it. Matt?
No, nothing comes to mind. Obviously, I blew off plenty of tests and plenty of projects until the very last second many, 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 many times. But nothing where I impacted anybody else. Because if I was in a group setting, it was a little bit different. I was kind of a little bit more, out in front of it. But no, nothing professionally that I ever was like, oh, fuck, I forgot that, or I messed that up, or I missed this. I'm sure there's something, but nothing that was just absolutely, it stuck out.
It wasn't devastating.
At least we figured out a way around it somehow.
But, that's nice, though.
Yeah, but
I had that one moment I was supposed to give. It was during Christmas time. This has been several years back. It was up in Calcutta, Ohio, and it was a big, big medical practice.
Calcutta. Is that where number one Snyder's got a thing out there, doesn't he, Chris?
Does he?
Well, Calcutta. I remember in the commercial.
He must have two locations because he's right up the street from you.
Yeah. Wintersville and Calcutta.
I didn't actually even know he had one up there.
Yeah.
Maybe he doesn't anymore, but he did.
Which would surprise me because the dude does very, very well.
Yeah.
His commercial's a little crazy, but...
Dig Dug.
But we were supposed to, it was like a big medical practice, probably anywhere between 50 to 70 people. But they told me from the get-go, since it was going to be Christmas, it was going to be very laid back. Well, all of a sudden, like they changed the rules of engagement on the 23rd hour, and I truly did not come as prepared as I should have been because they said it was going to be a relaxed setting. And I had one of those moments, man, when I got up in front of all those people where like I looked out and truly had that, oh, fuck, like I'm not prepared for whatever. Everybody's all eyes on me. And then I couldn't catch my breath. And it was like, it was a horrible, horrible moment. I'll be honest, I'm not a big believer. I hate fucking when people live life on the whole anxiety and all that bullshit. Right. But I truly had one of those moments where I couldn't fucking circle the wagons and bring it back. And it was as simple as, I'm not going to bore you all today. Have a Merry Christmas. I hope you guys have a great day. And that was pretty much my fucking presentation. Kind
of, yeah. Hey, you know what? There was probably a lot of people in that meeting. They were happy about it. Like, 100%. Fuck, good. Yeah. Let's go. I'm ready to go get into the booze.
What did you think? What were you expecting before? Like I was up there.
Pretty much, it was more of a standpoint. Like the original thing was the reason why I scheduled it was I was going to do a presentation and talk about our products and try to make it business like. But then when they told me for some reason, I didn't anticipate what it was going to be about. It was way more laid back. Excuse me, way more serious than I thought it was going to be once I get up there.
So you're saying
I misinterpreted everything. Yeah. Completely misinterpreted everything, and I don't think anybody really noticed or even people cared. But at the end of the day, like it was my one takeaway, probably in my sales career. Like, man, oh man, you look fucking bad.
Well, you survived it, Jeff.
Oh, yeah, it's all good. I mean, it's all good.
You can't complain.
Yeah. And I'm sure those people there probably don't even fucking remember it happened.
They don't care. And it was one of those Christmas events. So you're right, Matt. Probably everybody's like, you know what?
This guy fucking really helped us out.
Boom, get out.
Well, I bet you fucking probably start drinking right after that.
Actually, not. I had to go make some calls in the afternoon. It wasn't my Christmas party. It wasn't
anything. Wait a minute. So you had to go. Oh, so it wasn't your.
It wasn't my. No, it was just something to take advantage of a volume of people. Because they were having a big party. It was an opportunity kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
But it is what it is.
Call shit upon happens. People in mass numbers.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Mm-hmm. Volume game, numbers game.
Well, I'm sure everybody that's a follower of the podcast, since the last time that we recorded, we had massive floods here in Wheeling. So hopefully no one was affected too badly by that, any of our listeners out there. But did a flood impact you fellas at all? Obviously it impacted me with my work quite a bit, being out of action.
Work-wise, it did for me, just like you. I mean, just because we had so many deliveries out there that, you know, secondary roads couldn't get. So we had several customers that just couldn't get their deliveries until, like, well, actually I had a few that were normally scheduled for Friday. They didn't ship out till today. So it did wreak some havoc. And I had some customers. I actually talked to a guy down in Marietta today. He's got a drive through. He had rain up to the front door and it never got in his building, but he was closed half a day Thursday and he was closed until yesterday. So you know, you'd lose 3.5 days of business. Well, just like with you guys,
that's
and your
tough
volume was huge.
And people were waiting at the door to come in though, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, Jeff, he tell you that. He said it was like,
honestly, people were just like,
they were waiting. Like I couldn't believe it. Like literally 3:58. Yeah, 3:58 there's people in there. And then I was get my people settled and I was there all day Sunday and get it situated and I'm ready to leave and there's people just flooding through that door going and I hear the machine start cranking up. Beep, 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 beep. Yeah, everything's beeping. People are at the counter bet. I mean, people
came
have
back to normal.
Absolutely. Yes, it did, because it was really weird. It was dead quiet in there. You could hear someone talk and you could hear him at the front door from all the way to back. It was so quiet in there.
Well, Matt, were you there when you guys were shut down? Did you have to go
Wednesday
there?
No, I couldn't get there. You couldn't get there.
Oh, yeah.
So what happens on Wednesday when that situation is, then I'm assuming Kim and some of the other, the maintenance people and some of them will stay on site. So they just stay in the hotel.
Oh, that makes
sense.
To be
on site as the problems arise. But once you're off there, you're not getting back unless you got a boat.
Okay. No, because it just, when you'd mention how quiet it was, that would just be really weird if you'd be over there.
Would be eerie.
And it's constant.
Yes, no sound of anything.
Constant sound and chaos.
If that water, if you live over there, which poor Lola, at least she didn't get any, she didn't got any water at all, so good for her. But like so I don't know how you get in that mindset, but get your vehicle out of harm's way. There's floating cars over there. By, and then that stadium was a mess, and boy, the smell afterwards. Oh, so
really?
Like catfish and like just like that hot mud piss smell, like all together, and just it's gross. It was just gross. Just, mud caked everywhere.
Just rivers.
Those panhandle people, man, they're working nonstop. They're over there in like 24-hour shifts, just still cleaning up the lots and all the area. Wow.
Here's the dumb question. You may not know this. What is the, I guess, the deodorizer that a panhandle would use? Like, is it a spray? Is it a... What is it? Because at the end of the day, for it to work that efficient that fast, it's got to be miracle.
No, I don't know. They put something in the air vents, too.
Is that what they do?
They pump through, but yeah. And now, actually, our casino floor was pretty safe from all the water. It got into probably the very front door up, I don't know, maybe a foot and a half or so to the bottom of the steps and stuff, but it never got up onto the gaming floor. Because that's why they changed everything, to make everything be up elevated. So now you're getting, I mean, if it would have got up to the game floor, I mean, you're looking at 50 some feet of river water. I mean, that would that's what it would have to be to
now
be able
just to put it in context. So if I'm walking in the front door of your casino, was it water
up to like the second step maybe or something?
Well, so your escalators are all fucked.
But they've been working. Escalators and elevators are still down. Racing, jeez, obviously the track is destroyed. It'll have to be completely redone.
Do they have any target date on their?
It just depends on when they could get the materials, the sand and the dirt and all the mixture, and they got to get all that.
Sucks.
And then if the weather's got to hold off, we had generator power on Sunday, and then we ended up getting main power back, but all the transformers were roasted in the water. They all got covered by water and destroyed. Mm-hmm. But I don't remember Do you guys remember? Because Chris and Jeff, you guys remember the 04, 05 type floods. I feel like we got a lot more rain in that one than we did this one, but maybe not. It didn't seem like we got that much rain. I think it was more from outside of town passing through on the river, but I don't know. What do you guys remember about it?
I remember 04 was a shit show. I do remember that.
Yes, it was.
But you know what? Actually, Matt, now I really can't recall like if it was massive amounts or whatever.
What did they say?
4 inches this time, correct?
Yeah.
And what did they say for the other one? Do you know?
I want to say it was at least 6 or 7, but I could
be
wrong. Because that was from a tropical storm or hurricane that came up and set over top of us.
Yeah.
I think it was Hurricane Katrina, to be honest.
I think it was, actually.
It just set over us because I was at West Liberty in time, and I've never seen West Liberty ever in the stage it was in. Obviously, a hill. I mean, it was flooding. The campus was flooding. The roads all the way around, you couldn't get off the hill. It was unlike anything I've ever seen. My dad, who worked there, Dr. McCullough, guys who worked there 30 years, to that point, and they'd never seen anything like it. But this one was just a little bit different. The creeks didn't get as high around here, but the river was really high.
It's just weird, too, to think when you say 4 inches of rain, it results in feet and feet of flooding.
Yeah. Right.
Like, just 4 inches doesn't seem like that much.
Just 4 inches from everywhere in the world all coming to you, I guess.
Yeah.
Almost.
But boy, Jubbs
gave us a question on the radio the other day about how much natural disasters involve water, and it was like, 97% of them involve water or something like that.
Makes sense. But you think about it. You're up on the hill of West Liberty, and everybody talks about and makes fun of, well, if it ever hits this high. But you're like, it's crazy. Like, you're still having issues.
It was still like flash flooding. Like, it wasn't going to be a sustained flood where you're going to have water, like, just laying there. But the flash flooding was real.
And
the roads, you could not get – you couldn't – it took us a couple of days. We can only get as far as Bubba's. Which wasn't a bad spot.
I was going to say, that's
so
a great spot.
Yeah, because we literally were in there, and there was no power, but they were still selling beer, so you just sit there,
Bubba's
and you had nothing to do.
Then,
Bubba's
was
open, and we just went there, and you could get from back to campus to Bubba's, and that's about it. You couldn't get down. Peter's Run and 88 were destroyed. Trees, landslides, and then going out the back way, if you're going to try to go to Washington, PA, it was probably 2 or 3 days before we could get out that way finally. But, yeah, it's crazy. Water, it's amazing how destructive Mother Nature can be.
Water is just so devastating.
It is.
Water is. You can't get rid of it.
You can't stop it.
And just the power of it. And we hear this warning every year with that. Like, don't test the waters in your car. You were talking about that one car I saw now, and it was a white, it looked like a compact car. It was almost up to the... And I don't know how that happened, but I think, I don't know if it was somewhere in the state that some lady got in her car and tried to drive through it, and it tipped her over, and she floated away and drowned. I mean,
it said it only takes like an inch and a quarter to move a small car like underneath of you.
Oh, really?
And then like 4 inches can move like a bus.
But here's the deal. I'm man enough to admit that I'm smart enough to not do it, but I can't sit here and look any one of you in the eye and say that it wouldn't, like, if I know that, I know it's not worth your life, But if you have a car, man, that would be a hell of a thing to lose at that point in time. Like, right. You would really question, like, fuck, can I make it? Can I do it? And think about pushing the envelope, I guess, yeah. is what I'm
saying. No, I would. Yeah. I would. I'd be awful with that. So
I wouldn't.
If I was getting to the point, obviously, if it was too dangerous, but I'm gonna give it a really good chance. Like, I'm gonna try right? my hell hardest yeah. to get through it.
It's a tough thing, man.
You mean like so? Like, if it's bad, the only way you can really go, like, there's or you're
you just, got an area where you, it's almost impassable, but you're gonna take the shot or not?
Is that
any way you can go to get?
Yeah,
to
like
you need?
Here's the thing: it's different though. If I'm gonna get washed out into the main current, and then maybe not. But if I'm just on yeah. one of these side, if I'm on a side street over on the island, then I'm like leaving over there, and I got to get out of there. I'm rolling the dice.
Yeah. See, and actually, that's a great analogy.
Because I'm not going to get swept out in the main river. If that was, I'm not going to deal with raging rapids. But
yeah, not Niagara Falls.
I'll roll the dice. But hopefully, everybody survived the flood okay and are back to normal.
Well, you know, the one thing though, nobody can ever prepare for that. I don't know one person in my life ever that's ever had a drill and on how. Like, if you would and not get swept away, but if the water starts taking your car, then it gets up to like your door. Do you panic? How do you try to get out? I mean, if your car started, you have no control of it, then there's no training.
I don't know. That's like driving off of a bridge and falling in the water.
Right. You just hurry up and roll your window down and jump
crack
out.
Your window open
because you probably won't be able to. The pressure from the water,
you can't open your door. You won't be able to.
I hope I'm not in a car with you guys when you want a chance.
Well, what if you were on the Francis Scott Key Bridge in a car and you got knocked down into that thing? Did you have any shot?
Y'all, I just wanted me dead. No hope.
I read something the other day that is, and I'm not sure if it's every car, but your headrest is what
it's supposed to come out and smash.
You're supposed to crack the window with that.
Yep.
Like, if the pressure becomes so much. Now, granted, Chris, I see the shit ass grin across your face because if you're in a fucking panic, I'm not sure that you're like all of a sudden like, hey, let me just pull the headrest out.
You just can't just conveniently turn around and just grab it like you're picking up like a. You know,
you think you would be very composed during that?
That's what I'm saying. It would be tough.
Some people do. I like to think that I would be pretty good at that.
Jeff, you'd be like in the throes of life. You'd be like, boy, I wish I wasn't standing in front of that crowd up there. That
if I had a choice,
it doesn't seem so bad.
Yeah, it doesn't seem bad at all.
A Christmas party fiasco, or I'm going to be ready to drown if I don't crack this window.
I hope nobody is faced with that because that just seems terrifying.
Well, I didn't hear any fatalities at least around this part.
Actually, I didn't hear
anything. Severe, so let's hope it keeps going. I didn't hear any fatalities from yesterday's solar eclipse, which had the world stopped. It was literally amazing to see everyone out and wheeling everywhere around. It was kind of, to me, I know, Chris, you got thoughts on it. Jeff, we talked a little bit about it last night. I mean, it was what I expected. Like, I had seen pictures of what it was going to look like.
I agree.
I saw it. It was neat. I mean, I'm not anti-science or anything, so it was cool. But then just move along. It wasn't a big deal. So what did you think, Chris?
Well, I didn't have the special glasses. Okay. People are like, don't you dare look at that. So I had I had double sunglasses on.
Ooh.
But
raw dog.
Go
but,
raw.
But before it even hit here, it was like 2:30. I got online or on YouTube, and they had some live broadcasts. And, they, you know, these huge crowds are assembled. And they're, I mean, it sounded something like a New Year's Eve thing. And the hosts are on there. And, I mean, they just were going on and on about it. And then when it finally hit, it might have been in Dallas. And the lady's just like, she was overwhelmed with emotion. Oh, I'm tearing up. And then other people.
That. I don't know about that.
Yeah, what's that?
What I said to Madison, I just don't understand the reaction. Now, from what I saw of it, it was cool. It was kind of anticlimactic, if you ask me. I think it's cool, but I mean, yeah, Matt, you're right. It's like, you know,
you could see it inching towards, so it wasn't like it was some monumental event. You saw what was kind of happen. As soon as it got in there in a crescent form, we see what's going to happen here. Nothing really
now,
more to see.
I'll tell you this.
It's cool.
One of our customers, I was at his store today, and we were talking about it. He was just like shrugging it off like it wasn't a big deal. But he said he has a brother who lives in Virginia, has got an RV, and he drove from Virginia to Cleveland to see that. He was, I guess he's got friends up there, And is that where it
Cleveland
was,
like, was a big one? Yeah. Cleveland. Before the Indian game, they had
Northern Ohio. Yeah, big
and
deal.
I'm like, that's crazy to me to do something like that. But I was just, I think it's a
some
cool,
people look for a reason to party.
But, yeah, honestly.
Well,
yeah.
And I'm all right with that. Plus, some people thought the world was going to end, which I don't really.
Well, just like
Y2K,
right? We were going
to. Right. Yeah, Jeff mentioned that the other day. There was people, every single business was out on the curb.
Yeah, I thought it was cool. I just didn't understand just this emotion. And it just.
Right, right.
Like, wow, like, goddamn! Don't miss this.
Like, to me, there was a lot more emotional events that have happened in the world than that. But anyway,
yeah, it was kind of cool. I mean,
Jeff, what do you think?
I shared my sentiments yesterday, and it's not even being. It's just my world was completely turned upside down. There was so much fucking communication leading up to it for like the past month. They talked about that we were worried about if we were going to get
delivery. Oh, you told me that Saturday.
We weren't going to get deliveries. They were talking about you couldn't schedule any appointments because they weren't going to have 911 services.
Wow,
like it truly went. I mean, it was.
That does sound like tinfoil hat guy was in charge.
It was
not.
If you want to know the truth, it was kind of nauseating leading up to it. So when it got to the point, I'm not gonna lie, it's not. And I think it is cool. And I'm not dogging anybody that appreciate because appreciate it, good for you guys. But it wore me the fuck out. So when it was time to be
for
over,
no reason though, yeah. for no reason. It wasn't like your patients were going to start turning into werewolves or something.
And the thing about it, and I think I had Delbrook laughing because somebody says, "Hey, do you want to see these? You want to see these glasses?" And my exact words, like, "Fuck no, I don't want to see your glasses. Like, I just want this thing to be fucking
be
over.
Yeah. Be over.
Just be over with, man. Done talking about the fucking eclipse."
Oh yeah, and then people were telling me like, my cat and my daughter, like, make sure your dog's inside and shut all the blinds.
Why are people so worried?
I've never gone out because my dog will spend a lot of time outside on his leash. I've never gone out and seen him.
Toby's looking at the stars.
He's never staring at the sun.
Care.
He's thinking about puppy porn.
Exactly. He's trying to find some female's ass to sniff.
That's what he's looking for.
That's what he's into.
And actually, the other thing is, and I hate the conspiracy theory, but there was a lot of medical community people talking about that the glasses. There's a lot of recalls on the glasses. Even if you had glasses, you shouldn't be looking at. I feel like we just like circled the drain with
everything. If I have a brain tumor in a few months, I'll just blame the glasses.
And what is it? It comes back with, I mean, I know that's the big deal. That's
in
the 44? Relevance. Is that what is it? Oh, 2044? Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Really? That's the next one? Jump's in 2090 something.
See, I thought it was down the road too.
Well, there's something in 2044.
Maybe that's not the same exact
might not
one.
Be the
Hell
same
freezes
one.
Over.
Yeah.
Hell freezes in 2044.
I'll be fucking 80, man.
Do you imagine though, like all these hundreds of years ago when people used to talk about the world being like round and the sun orbiting the earth or the earth orbiting the sun people were like burned at the stake for like believing in this stuff, and now we're all marching outside
true.
Of the fucking office.
That's crazy.
Off from our offices out onto the corner of the avenue to look up in the air at this fucking thing. So
it's wild.
We've come a long way in that regard, I guess. But according to, did you see those morons on, actually I can't believe it, Chris, but I actually am going to be on Whoopi Goldberg and Joy Behar had to correct one of their stupid hosts. Because the girl tried to blame it on global warming.
Yes.
The eclipse.
I just saw that.
And even Whoopi was like, this already happened and we knew it was going to happen. It wasn't an effect of global warming or
cold. How are you responsible? Honestly, I've done it wrong. I say dumb fucking things every day, all day long, but how irresponsible do you have that type of platform?
Yeah,
you're
no,
just spitting shit out.
It was that Sunny. Yeah. That
that's
Sunny.
So Sunny Hostin.
Hostin, yeah. She's an idiot.
She's always saying
but,
stupid.
But, like,
is that the cute blonde? Is that the hot blonde?
She's like the light-skinned black lady.
Yeah,
different one.
She's not a bad-looking lady, but she's an idiot.
She's
an absolute idiot.
Head.
There you go.
But it's just funny how like people like that want to push that agenda of you, the climate change, global warming.
Before we get into this week's episode, mark your calendars for May 4th this year for the North Atlantic Beer Mile at Waterfront Fest in Wheeling, West Virginia. From live DJs, live band performances, retail vendors, a Kentucky Derby watch party, great food, and great fun, this event kicks off the summer's festival season. From 11 a.m. to 11 p.m., Waterfront Fest is an all-day event that includes the first annual North Atlantic Beer Mile, hosted by us, the Pine Room Studios. Take part in this epic race where competitors are tasked to drink a 10-ounce beer before the first and after each subsequent mile for a total of 4 beers and 4 quarter miles. Runners can participate solo and take on the workload for themselves, or with the help of 3 other friends, you can split the workload and work as a team. We highly encourage crazy and wacky outfits, and being that it's Star Wars Day, the Kentucky Derby, and the day before Cinco de Mayo, why not dress up? Go to waterfronthall.com/fest to register and know that a portion of the proceeds are going to three deserving charities in the Ohio Valley: the Road Home Animal Project, Helping Heroes, and Augusta Levy. Get ready for an absolutely epic event, the North Atlantic Beer Mile, May 4th at Waterfront Fest.
I get irritated every day when I turn a television on, but you can't do anything about it. Yeah, I know. Well, you're right about that.
I mean, it just because I got tired of going to bed pissed off.
But I bet you went to bed happy last night when you saw that the NAIA banned those trans athletes from competing.
Yeah,
25-0. I thought that spoke a lot.
It did speak a lot. I would agree with that. People are starting to wisen up a little
bit. Yeah, he said that represents like 83,000 athletes or something.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, it is great. And at the end of the day, once again, it's not a knock towards whatever you choose to be in life. You know what? If that's you, do you. That's super cool. But at the end of the day, you cannot intermix and let people compete and stuff.
You can't cheat people who deserve it out of their opportunity.
It's just not fair. It's not. But once again, if that's the lifestyle you choose, it's no different than us talking about the fact of, I mean, I don't agree with the lifestyle, but if that's the lifestyle you choose,
right.
It's not going to bother us. It's not going to bother me.
It doesn't affect us one bit.
You do you, and if that's what makes you happy, fucking rock on, Twisted Sister. But at the end of the day, I think it does speak volumes because it's rational thoughts and rational minds that 25 people sit in a room and go, that's just not appropriate, and we're going to.
I don't even know that existed anymore. Mm. Rational minds,
yeah, right.
Especially in leadership.
Yeah,
that's,
well,
imagine
that's
stunning to me.
Well, when I wrote, I'll have to look at it here for a minute. But when I saw that, but I don't know, somebody was making a quote on that or was commenting on the decision, and they were talking about, well, it's a really complex issue, and it was tough to. And I'm like,
it's really not.
What is so hard to? It is what it is. I mean, it's all about, you know, competition and fairness to these women. I mean, I don't see what you would have to struggle, whether that's right or wrong.
Well, like, I agree with that. And I think the other thing is, it's truly shortchanges a female. Female's been behind the eight ball for years, and been treated unfairly, and still treated unfairly to this day, whether it be with salaries or the stage isn't big enough in a sporting event, and they're starting to creep up, which should be that way. And then you're going to have this fucking trend knock it back down.
Mm-hmm. Like a lot of the same people, Jeff, that were pro women's sports are now the pro in the trans, and they're canceling out their argument to benefit women. They're not helping women at all. Girls are losing opportunities because of this.
And that's not fair. And I know people say, well, life's not fair. That's just not even.
But that's preventable.
It is preventable.
Well, most things aren't, but that is. There's just no reason in the world anybody could say biological men aren't going to have an advantage competing dressed as a woman in a female sports game. It's just impossible. It's just the way that we're built differently. That's just how it went. And I mean, it's like you said, Jeff, you change who you are, that's your business. Yeah. But don't start taking chances away from our sisters and nieces and, you know, daughters. Like, it's terrible. It's just, I feel terrible because I've always been a supporter of women's sports.
Yeah.
I've loved them. I've loved women's basketball for a long, long time. I'm glad that's finally got on a high level stage now with Caitlin Clark. I think it's super cool. And then now we're doing a lot of harm to it by letting these male swimmers that are killing all these state records and these poor girls who aren't making podiums and not getting recruited for college maybe because of it. It's just not right. It's simply not fair.
I can't believe you actually have females out there, and all due respect, that are supporting the movement. And to completely remove
yourself
from the fucking platform.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
It blows. I mean,
you
got to
sit down and think about it.
Well, I mean, what I'm all about supporting certain things, but man, what are you doing? I guess if you're looking at yourself in the mirror, like, how are you rationalized with yourself? And like, how can you even say to yourself that this is okay and it's not going to remove me? It's no different than back in the day that everybody thought that, this is a horrible analogy, but like when we started doing when you go to Kroger's and stuff like that, and you had self bag and stuff like that, everyone's like, it's the greatest thing in the world. But then people start to realize, well, fuck, that's going to take away jobs. It's going to take away the personal side of things.
Sure.
People think about how great it is and then how negative of an effect it has.
It's like the minimum wage getting raised to $20 at some of these fucking places.
Honestly,
guess what?
Thing.
Businesses shut down because of that.
Yes.
Good job.
Or
so now you just lost all the employees.
Or the fact of matter, then we're paying $20 for a hamburger.
Right.
I mean, you can see that
price affected every day.
Sharon and Luke go to Chick-fil-A, the three of you, in the drive-thru, and it's $75.
Yeah, you could go get a steak for that.
But I guess I'm just so surprised that people are either stubborn or not educated enough to be try to validate it, and in return, you're just literally cutting yourself off at the knees.
No, yeah. I don't get it.
Women's sports are women's sports. Guys' sports are guys' sports. It's there's enough love to go around for both of them and opportunities for both. So why can't we just keep it the way it's always been?
I mean, the movie Kindergarten Cop kept it pretty simple. Boys have penises.
Right, right. Vaginas, yeah, that right? little kid said it well.
Yeah,
and I did read something that I thought was a really good comment. Someone said, people beat you down about not accepting the trans community. We're supposed to be accepting, and you're supposed to embrace this. But how can you be expected to embrace something and take it in when the person who was born a certain way wasn't even comfortable enough with their own self that they had to actually change who they were? Like, to me, that's not... And again, it's not up to me to judge them individually, but don't be preaching to me that I'm supposed to accept this when those people weren't even proud of who they were as people. Mm-hmm. So,
right.
I mean, you need to believe in yourself from what you are, and that's, you know...
Well, and yeah, and I had seen, you may have seen, I don't know how long, this goes back a ways, when John McEnroe was talking about playing tennis, and even Serena said, I'd get my ass kicked, not just by him, but anybody. And it's true, there's just such a difference between physically, and I got thinking, I was driving, I'm like, well, let's just pretend back in the day when I played basketball, and I just, for whatever, I decided I want to be a girl. But yeah, I was allowed to play in girls basketball. I mean... Not that I was like 6'5", but I would have fucking averaged 50 points a game just because I was a better athlete, bigger and stronger.
Well, here's
it's fucked up.
Did you just hear? So here's the question. Has anybody heard who South Carolina girls play every practice? They bring in a group of dudes that is literally part of the team.
Yep.
She said that they will get a ring because of their commitment to the team. This and that, they bring in a boys basketball team that is part of South Carolina to scrimmage them every night.
Because she admits, which Pat Summitt was doing this, a lot of people are doing this for years, they understand that if their kids are able to raise up to where they're able to somewhat be able to compete with men, then that's going to only help them when they're playing against women. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it makes sense. You don't bring in another girls' team to practice against. You're practicing against men for a reason, because it's supposed to lift your game up. But you're never going to be physically as talented as them.
No.
But the basketball skills of the girls usually win out in situations
without a doubt, it does.
Which it will. But it still drives those girls and pushes them hard to where they're getting something more out of their practices than they ever would with just scrimmaging against girls who aren't as good as them or whatever, naturally as talented. But, yeah, it's...
So yeah, I'm going to talk out of both sides of my mouth. So eighth grade year, and poor Luke Doyle, if he listens to this, he'd be so pissed. First of all, it was Corpus Christi basketball when the couple grades above them left, like decimated. Like there was a lot of talent at one point in time, and when that group of kids left, it was decimated. So when we would scrimmage our girls in seventh and eighth grade, our girls would kick our ass.
Right.
Kick our ass because they were just more talented. They had more talent on the team.
Yeah.
We didn't have basketball.
And if they're
players.
Organized too, if you're getting them to play, I used to make this argument a lot at West Liberty with other athletes when there was times where I would practice against the girls team because our coaches would gather up guys that could play, had some sort of basketball sense at all. So I did that. But I told these guys, like, you think that you're going to take five really good football players and beat this girls' basketball team, you're not going to do it. Because these girls know what they're doing. They know how to screen. They know how to move. They know how to move the ball. They just know basketball. You're not – you just can't just put five athletes out there and it's going to turn out just because. Mm-hmm. But, but when you're doing – if it's just physically, if it was just a test of physicalness, they would never be able to beat them. But you got all the other things that go into basketball. It's not just all physical. There's a lot of mental there, too. But
I would agree.
And how about South Carolina, speaking of them, how about Dawn Staley defending the women?
I just saw the link to the headline, and I did.
Someone asked her if she thought it was okay if a guy played in D1 girls basketball, and she gave some half-assed answer.
But it said she kind of panicked.
She gave a long pause. Like, I don't think she wanted to say yeah, but then she – tailored her response to basically say, yeah, anybody can just be who they want to be. And it was awful. And then someone...
I didn't even know this transpired.
It was right up against the Final Four. Like, right right before they played their Final Four game. Not Iowa, but
the why did they have to ask her the fucking question?
Well, I think it's just with the hot topics of the trans infiltrating women's sports.
No, I didn't see it. I just wish she'd have said, well, you know, we're here to talk about the Final Four.
Well, she could have. I would have preferred her answer that like that than try to say like it's basically it's okay.
Yeah, I totally disagree.
But then someone said, like, do you think Dawn Staley would be all right if LeBron just decided to be a woman and play in the SEC? Like, come on. Like, no, that's going to be awful for them. It would not be cool.
See, and Matt, you're not wrong. They're bringing it up because they want something to talk about. They want to try to create a little controversy. But I agree with you. Like, why is it relevant? I don't understand. Like, I'm not coming in this room and don't know you guys. And I'm like, hello, fellas. My name is Jeff Dwell. Right. I'm a heterosexual male, and I like girls and this and that. Like, I don't understand why we have to platform ourselves. Like, a great example is Morgan Freeman talks about. Did you ever see that interview that he had with the guy from 60 Minutes? And they started talking about, I think it's African American Month or whatever the case might be.
Yeah,
And he pings it back to him and goes, what month do you have? He's like, well, we don't have a month. He goes, well, I don't want a month then either. Like, why is it relevant?
He's got a lot of wise quotes.
Especially
about fathers. And him and Denzel Washington, you watch some of their stuff that's not mainstreamed.
People
really
make it out
stuff.
To be way bigger. The common folk doesn't think about this stuff. Do you have your fucking idiots? Or the pack of the marry, you're so far left or you're so fucking far right? 100%. Those are the fucking idiots of the world. But the normal person doesn't worry about that person that's walking in and what their preferences are, what color they are. I don't know. So I agree with you. But why is that fucking question?
I think that probably got asked. I'm just speculating here. Because they were at the women's Final Four and they're probably trying to talk about how that should be protected as a women's Final Four, not the women's and trans Final Four. So that's being devil's advocate for the guy that asked the question.
Right, and I didn't. Right. Did you see like the whole interview?
Yeah, I saw her. Yeah,
I just didn't know.
She took a long pause though. You could tell she was not. She probably had to reevaluate what she really wanted to say. Like, was no, like men should play men's sports and women should play women's sports. But she definitely did it a little more diplomatic, which still made people from the other side mad. So.
I'll be honest, it actually kind of surprised me because I feel like she's kind of real. And obviously, I don't know Dawn Staley from fucking Adam. Yeah, I feel like she is kind of a real person. And maybe I'm wrong about that. But I do think, what did you guys think of her? And I'm not dogging it. I'm asking the question. What did you guys think about her emotion at the end of the game?
I loved it.
In my personal opinion, I understand being emotional because I can only imagine. I've never won a fucking championship, so I can only imagine what the grind is and what it means and how you go fucking undefeated. Like, there's got to be, like, at the end, like, a decompressor button where you're like, it's over and we did it. But I still think at the end of the day, when you're on that stage, you have to gather yourself a little bit better in my personal opinion.
Oh, you didn't like it then?
No, I did. I loved it. But at the end of the day, for fucking 10 minutes, we sat there and fucking dead silence because she couldn't catch her breath. Remember, she's bent over.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys.
I just saw the tail end of the game, and then I left. So
no,
like,
she
I
like it. It took.
I had to go
her,
get my money.
It was a big. Yeah.
I had to go get my money.
It was a big show.
Was it too much? Do you think?
Yeah, I think it was, but yeah. I think Hurley's an idiot too. I think the way he behaves. Yeah. God, he's great coach, but man, he acts like a fucking moron.
We're working on three already. You're not even enjoying.
Yeah.
Two, like he sits up there. We're already planning for three.
He's out on the court. I appreciate the heat of the moments type. I mean, I don't care personally. I'm not judging anybody on that kind of stuff. I'm more concerned about the being a decent human being than I am the way you act. I think anybody can act like an idiot here and there. People are gonna do it.
But, in the heat of the moment.
I mean, Caitlin Clark gets criticized for it all the time, but fucking these fucking NBA guys every night do the same fucking stuff. That was another thing I always thought was fine. If the guys are really good or the girls are really good, they want to talk a little smack. They earned it, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas if you're some fucking shit bum and you're talking it's shit, horrible. Then shut up. Like, you're nobody. You're
I do hate how, like, those types of situations, how people don't look at the whole book and they judge somebody just based off of one reaction.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? You could have fucking 12 great things happen, and then all of a sudden you have that one moment where maybe you lost your cool or you showed something, and then all of a sudden everybody judges you for that one moment. And I think that's not fair.
You were talking about Hurley. Now, that game was last night. So I get up this morning. I'm on, and I see they must have already asked him about the Kentucky job.
Yeah.
Like he just, I mean, he said no chance in hell or whatever.
Clickbait, man. That's
that's all it is. I mean, Jesus Christ.
These people get paid by it, though, so you can't fault them.
Are you guys surprised by Calipari, though?
No,
sound like they wanted to kind like, of
yeah,
push
him. Yeah, they had enough of him.
Yeah,
losing.
And I agree with that.
And he heard the rumblings.
Yeah,
he had enough.
So you think really he sensed it, and he was getting another year though, because they met before and they were going to give him a year. So,
but and didn't he have like a $33 million buyout?
Yeah, the buyout's 33. Yeah. So Kentucky got off the hook, but who are they going to get?
That's a fucking job, man.
They're gonna have to pay somebody.
Yeah, I mean, but it hasn't. When's the last time they won anything? He won one time.
2012.
Yeah, he won one time. Yeah, the undefeated team didn't win. Yeah, I mean,
they've fallen way short of expectations.
Yeah, he should do better.
Year after year, because he's always.
I like him
talent.
As a guy. I think he's a great recruiter. He's actually, if you talk to his, or I don't talk to, but I've seen talks with his ex players of how much of a father figure he became for a lot of those guys that had no fathers. He's actually a pretty good dude. I know he may seem arrogant. He may seem like he's not that good of a basketball coach, but he really took some of these kids from really bad spots and helped them.
And you know, I don't have a problem with that. Yeah. Set the basketball aside. If you can impact somebody's life like that,
he has.
And I'm sure all these coaches go into some of these kids' homes that are just they're just probably deplorable.
But a lot of them will lie right to the parents and not help the kid. Wouldn't you agree?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So if you can impact them that way, okay. So what he didn't win the national championship or he didn't win the conference. Okay, but you know he's really molded these guys into and they're going to be you know productive members of society and all that and good adults. Okay, right. that's yeah. part of it too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So and I can appreciate
and a lot
that.
Of guys go to the NBA. They do okay.
No doubt.
Yeah, you look at those teams. How he didn't win, it's kind of crazy. You will say the teams that have more seniors and the upperclassmen, they seem to just do better in these tournaments. They really do. The young guys just aren't cut out mentally for this stuff. But
well, I don't get TBS, so I didn't even get to see the game. But I followed online. Was the game ever close? Because was it 6 points at half?
Yeah. So the way I looked at it, it was like the last two games that they played. It's like the other team is playing their ass off, everything they're trying
to
do,
stay close.
Just to keep the game tight. And then UConn's not playing well. They're turning it over, which they never do. And they still up by six. It's like, yeah, this you knew it was gonna. So I somehow stayed awake till halftime, and I was like, there's no chance that Purdue's winning this game. And
yeah. Well, the big guy had 37. They must have shut everybody else down, huh?
Yeah, the guards played bad, which really you had bad. To figure that UConn had a major advantage with the guard play, and it showed. But
I tell you this much. I kind of busted Edie's balls a little bit on being soft and blah, 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 this and that. I tell you what, he actually showed me some things last night.
I agree, Jeff.
I really do.
He's really transformed a lot in the last 2 years as a guy that has matured and has really gotten to be. Because a lot of times those guys, if you're 7'4", what else are you going to do? They're telling you, you got to play basketball. You're fucking gigantic. You got to play. You got to play. Well, he's actually turned himself into a hell of a good player.
And I tell you what, man, he don't come out of the game.
I mean, every minute of every game,
it's
almost.
It's unbelievable. So a dude that's 7'4", man, and last night's game, you could tell he's a little bit tired because they were running last night, man.
Yep.
But he's still – I mean, I think they did take him out a little bit in the first half. It was – I think they – actually, they made fun of it. I think they said he was out for 33 seconds, something like that.
Yep.
But at the end, man, somebody that big, man, you got to think the toll that it's got to take on – if you're having a running game, man, that's a lot.
Is he a senior?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know what kind of NBA career he'll have.
See, I don't think there's probably not one, right?
Because he can't shoot at all.
Yeah, I mean,
I think it might have been Jim Rome today was talking about how the Minnesota Timberwolves have kind of gotten back to bigger lineups, and they're not.
Well, they have, but their guys.
But
could
I know,
shoot.
I know they're not. Like,
Towns
playing
wants to
down
be a
on the
guard
block like Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Right. But yeah, but they do have bigger. I mean, I hope the guy does well.
I don't know how him or the Klingon guy from UConn will fare in the NBA.
Was that number 32?
Shoot. Yeah, the big guy. Yeah. He struggles like he can't move. He looks slow to me. But
yeah,
I don't know. Who are we to judge?
Right,
the NBA
right.
scouts will be all over the stuff. But,
well, that's just
nobody knocked on my door. Unfortunately,
because Matt, you referenced it earlier about enjoying the women's game, and I do.
It's a better game, right?
I think it is. Yeah. Just the way they
less
play.
Less fouls too,
and I don't miss watching a game without dunks.
No, me either.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
Bullshit.
Just the way they move the ball, and I think the coaching's better at the women's level too, because it's not just as simple as you go 1-on-1. He's a better athlete than I am. I'm not going to stop him or vice versa. And like, that's what they do. So much ISO, one-on-one. NBA games, all pick and roll, pick and pop. That's all it is. It's trash. In the men's college game, too many fouls. Too many fouls. Mm-hmm. They call fouls. The officials are looking to get on TV. And I don't think the girls have that as bad.
No,
so.
I don't. And you know, and Caitlin Clark, the one thing, her choice of shot sometimes is questionable.
But on a team like
that,
I don't have a lot of options.
But my point is, she she has the ball a lot in her hands, but she does distribute it, and she can
great
pass.
She tries. Fantastic court vision.
Right, I don't have a problem with her taking a 37 footer because she's Caitlin fucking Clark,
right?
Yeah. And she's making a lot of them, mm-hmm. but she can pass the ball.
Luke's always had me watching Notre Dame girls basketball, and they've always been, you know, obviously probably the last 10 years, pretty solid to watch. But so this is probably my most women's basketball in general that I've watched this year. I never realized probably because I didn't watch it, but the amount of jump balls.
Yeah.
And women's basketball compared to men's. Right. And I guess I don't understand it.
Yeah, I that's a good question, and I'm not sure I'd
probably just being
is that the call? Yeah. Is that the end-all, be-all call by a referee in women's basketball, I guess?
So you're just saying you're just noticing more tie-ups and more
jump balls.
I would say most likely, in my opinion, if a girl gets trapped in the corner, she's probably going to get a jump ball or a foul. Where if a guy gets trapped in the corner, he can elevate, jump, and make passes that the girls can't do. Sense. But again, that body difference. They'll tell you that doesn't matter, but it does matter. Uh-huh. Like men, like I'm able to elevate up in the air. I'm not even a good athlete, but I'm an average enough athlete that if I'm getting trapped by girls, I can get out of a corner. Whereas girls on girl are not gonna girl on girl. There you go. That might be something that no wonder everybody likes.
Don't put that on the search bar.
Talk about hey, here comes the change of pace for the Pyram podcast.
Girl on girl jumping for balls.
There we go. Chris, did you think the same thing?
Oh yeah,
it's always been a criticism.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of a criticism on girls basketball is they miss too many layups and there's a lot of jump balls.
Well, and I see it on high school level, and obviously the talent isn't as great, but especially you see it a lot on teams that don't have a lot of talent. Those girls just dribble into the corner,
right?
And they don't know what
and they don't know what they're doing. They don't want to stay out of the corner, right, especially if you suck.
Yeah, exactly.
Because
yeah.
that's an extra defender, you
right?
Worry
so
about.
But I agree with you though, and I think it is a lot of it has to do with the athleticism.
So it does make sense, and I guess I never really thought about it.
Played at a high level, though, where that NCAA tournament now for the girls is getting so much better, where you actually have more spread out power, balance of power. Obviously, South Carolina, the favorites, but you're getting more teams that are competitive, which is good to see. You know, several years ago, you had two or three that could win, and now you got, you know, maybe eight each year that maybe could win. And so that's a good thing, that the game is getting better. But I don't know. A lot of people still won't ever like it. And I mean, give it a chance.
The Irish were without their best player this year.
Nah, so I know.
Watch out next year. Let's go.
Yeah, no.
That would have made a big difference. I'm not saying we
won.
Well,
and then your other girl had to take her nose ring out for an hour and a half. Which is just fucking bullshit. But
that was crazy. Played with it all year long. year long, and then all of a
sudden. That was ridiculous. They got fires on over there.
Wait, this one or the one here?
One on the outside. On the stud.
Played all year long with it.
Just couldn't get it out.
And she had to take it out.
Yeah, in the middle of the game. Wasn't before the game. It's in the middle of the game.
In the tournament?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, they lost the game.
It's the game they lost the game.
Was it Oregon State?
Yeah, Oregon State. And literally, she was out for probably 5 or 6 minutes.
The trainer's like working on a motherfucker trying to get it out. And
Luke said she's kind of, she's definitely the real deal for a freshman, too.
She's really good.
But Luke says she's one of those players, hands down, that she can be streaky. But when she gets hot, she's hot. And she was in that moment of hot. And then, unfortunately, they
ruined the whole game.
Why the fuck you wearing the fucking thing?
Well, I guess you're not wrong. Yeah. You're not wrong. But at the end of the day, she wore the whole year.
So they should just make the rule the same.
Well, like, let me ask you. Maybe you would know. And I see this sometimes in high school. I don't know if it's like this in college. Like a girl will have an earring at the top of her ear, or where, even if her just regular ear is regularly pierced. And instead of taking it out, they have tape over it.
Yeah, well, they told her originally to put tape.
Why don't they, instead of taking it out,
They're trying to say it's player safety, where you don't get cut on it.
No, I understand.
So I foul you, hit you in the face, and get cut.
Right, because I know you have that stud that sticks out.
Yeah, so the tape is supposed to alleviate that.
But I think they should just say no jewelry.
Well, they should.
No jewelry,
they should.
Period.
But NCAA is a gutless operation. They're never going to do that.
Oh, they're the worst.
Yeah, so take some lessons from the NAIA. In the NCAA is a travesty.
Back. Yeah, you guys making me feel really bad today. You got a cue card over there. You
usually when I don't have to host the show, it's a lot easier. You just come and you give your opinions. But like if you're doing it, you just want to at least have a few things that you remembered. Because I remember I used to give. We used to have the rundowns of the whole thing, and then we kind of got away from that. The hot pit, cold mug. Does anybody have those? We could go revisit that. Chris, I know you wanted to talk about Planet Fitness a few years ago, but you never got that. That's back to the transgender.
Did you guys see the story about the lady in Fairbanks, Alaska?
Have not.
Nope. It is fair because the reason it caught my attention, there was a headline that said like their Planet Fitness stock plummeted and their value yes. went way down. So what had happened was there was a lady that went into the women's restroom or locker room, and there was a guy in there shaving. Now he was fully dressed because this lady.
And he wasn't a guy pretending to be a woman though, was he?
No. Well, he said he was in the transitioning phase.
Oh, because he looked like a regular okay. guy.
Yeah, but no, he was in the
might have
process.
To try that.
So, but he had pants on, and there was a 12-year-old girl in there dressed yeah. just wrapped in a towel. And she's petrified. Now, this Oof. Other lady, it wasn't her mother. She took a picture of that guy and came out and, you know, bitched to management. Well, they end up revoking her membership for life.
For life?
Yeah.
She's the one that got banned.
Yeah, so she's banned.
It's fucking incredible.
And
that's why their stock plummeted.
Yeah, you know what?
Yeah.
Fuck around and find out.
Yeah, once again. He said he was queer and he was transitioned. He's part of he just said LGB. But this is the fucked up part in the whole thing. One of the most fucked up things is it says they have a judgment free zone in Planet Fitness, so you can't judge anybody, and they have a policy obviously that I guess you're not allowed to take photos of anybody. That's what they're saying.
That was the
spin. Yes, yeah. But anyway, so they have a gender identity non-discrimination policy. And now this is the other part. Like, so members and guests may use facilities that best align with their sincere, self-reported gender
absurd.
Identity. So do you? So one day you just feel like, you know, I'm going to go in there. I want to get a free. I want to go see some naked girls. I'm going to claim that I'm a woman because that's your sincere, self-reported. Gender identity. Like, you got, is there a guy there or a guy or woman?
Cup check.
Yeah.
Cup
check. You know, if you got a penis or a vagina. But anyway, they ended up having did you see that? They had they assigned a chaperone to this person, some lady that goes into the locker room with this queer guy. She's a chaperone. Fucking so what? The lady that
fucking
got the lady that got banned, her friend's still a member there, and she was in the locker room one time where this guy was in there with the chaperone, and the lady said, "You need to get him out of here." And the lady chaperone said, "Well, if you feel uncomfortable, just you better go use a stall." So, I mean, this world's fucking gone mad. It's going fucking absolutely mad.
So you
I mean,
got paying customers now, their lives being ruined,
yeah.
little girls getting in yeah. dangerous Started. Situations. Yeah. How do we, you know, it's coming. It's probably already happened. Mm-hmm. There's going to be guys that are start to impersonate, and then they're going to be child abductors, and they're going to start taking yeah. girls from the girls' locker room and pretending to be a woman. You know it's happened.
It's already
definitely
yeah.
happening. And here we are as adults and people in leadership and owners of these businesses who have they have a responsibility to have a safe environment for their people, mm-hmm. and you put children at risk. That's the even worse part about it. It's mm-hmm. one thing if it's just other women getting upset, but when you got little girls in there, my
but
God.
It seems like we're even
can you imagine as a father, what would you be like? I'd want to kill the person. Yeah. I have a hard time not killing him.
Mm-hmm.
I still think one thing, and once again I'm going to preface it again, because at the end of the day, whatever you choose to be, good for you, but I don't understand why we are completely changing the masses. For it's not even the 1%,
right?
It's not even 1%. It's got to be 0.00 whatever, and we're making mass changes for. I don't understand. That's the part that
I
guess
it's like the smallest group getting the loudest voice.
It's the loudest voice, and I don't understand it. And I understand that they're going to say, well, it's been numerous years where it's always been whatever the minority voices, and I get all that, but I don't know, man. I don't know. You're right.
And it seems like they're getting, and it seems like they're getting away even more worried. They don't care about protecting kids.
They don't care. They don't care. Well, yeah, obviously, look at it. Look at Hollywood. Look at the sex trafficking that goes on to these rich people. Mm-hmm. And you know, the people don't want to name names. That's why it never even gets talked about on the news. Mm-hmm. They don't even talk about it. It's never talked about. P. Diddy and Epstein Island. Are you back, Jeff?
No, I think I am.
Right now.
Hello.
There you go.
Yeah. Sorry about that, guys.
No, you're good. But yeah, Chris, it's awful. And you know what? In my opinion, if they're going to have to do this and they're going to continue to have just massive amounts of these people transitioning or whatever, they need to start these businesses need to start making trans dressing. Like, all of them go together in their own spot. You shouldn't, nobody wants to segregate. You know how big of a deal that was? You had different water fountains and different bathrooms and stuff. Well, maybe you don't have to do that, but you should be doing it for this because you're changing your fucking sex. You can't change the color of your skin. That's pretty tricky. But these people are now changing their sex voluntarily for whatever reason. That's their business. I don't give a shit. But now when you're impacting my family and my friends and people that I care about, that's where it really bothers me. And you and these businesses have a right to do that. I will never step foot in the Planet Fitness.
No,
I hope they burn to the ground. I hope they never. I hope they have to close. I hope they file bankruptcy, and then then there'll be a much more fat people on the planet, I guess. But fuck Planet Fitness.
Can you imagine?
Oh, you're off again.
Thank you.
Can you imagine, though, we all love money. And matter of fact, I'm man enough to admit, if I could fuck money, I'd fuck money.
Because
right? And I do. And I'm not a money grubber, but at the end of the day, I like money. But I would never like let my morals and values get ahead of me when it came to money either. Mm-hmm. But can you imagine some of these fucks? And granted, I think there's going to be so much shit coming out right now. Can you imagine you knew that you were profiting off of some like 8 or 9 year old girl that literally was having to have sex 15, 20 times a day? Like, can you imagine how much of a fucking horrible person?
Just evil.
You're truly evil.
Yeah,
like,
you're really, there's a different type of evil. There's evil and then there's that. Like, that's as bad as it gets. Human trafficking now becoming the biggest business in the entire world.
Which is absurd to me, man.
And it's like, to me, I do think there's a distinction between the people that are trafficked versus people that are, sex workers and things of that nature who are forced into doing things they don't want to do, which they should never be. But when you're entering into that line of business, I'm not going to say you're asking for it, because that of course is frowned upon, but you're putting yourself in a dangerous situation. The people that I feel the worst for, and they don't really separate. So if you're a sex worker and you're going to Epstein Island to do this, and then Bill Clinton and somebody else come in there and they want a fucking tug job from you, well, like, you went there for money. So you opened the door for this. I'm not saying that you didn't get abused. I totally think you shouldn't have had to do anything you didn't want to do. But it's a lot different to me than these girls from other countries, or even girls that are in this country. They're being kidnapped, underage, put in these situations where they have absolutely no desire to do this. They're not making any money. Their entire lives have now become, their life is, they don't even know their life. They don't know who their parents are. They don't know where they live. They're being trafficked. To me, there's a distinction there. And they're kind of trying to lump it all together like it's the same thing. Like, to me, it's a little bit different.
It's a lot
so
different.
Sex trafficking to me is these people totally unwilling to be in this, whether they're underage or whether they're taken from their country, they're transported in these vans. I mean, if you watch some shows on it is sick. It is fucking sick how much money people will pay for these 12-year-old girl. Just buy her online, black market. Never going to get back to fucking whatever country she's from in Eastern Europe. She'll never go back. She'll never find her family again. She'll probably end up dead.
Yeah. Probably on drugs and... It's terrible.
It is terrible. 100%.
Biggest business in the world.
What do you guys think of if you were going to break down percentage, and I'm going to bucket in, I'm not going to define underground.
Right.
But what would you say percentage in our country of underground? I'll just give you some examples. Child sex,
yes.
Drugs, mafia.
Gambling.
Gambling. Just D, you could think about the bad things of the world. What would you throw a percentage as in? I don't even know what I'm trying to ask, I guess. But, like, where would you throw the underground world that truly the common folk like us?
Like, how much underground is actually existing that we would never have access to without...
Probably higher than we would think, right?
I would think,
right?
Yeah. I mean, because I never realized till this all came about, maybe prior to the Epstein Island thing, but how big sex trafficking was. Obviously, you hear about pedophilia all the time, but as far as the selling and these girls and basically harvesting from other countries, and how the black
the scams they run?
Yes.
Girls coming here to get jobs
or
modeling agents or school,
yeah.
And they get taken. They never even make it to where they're going.
I was totally blown away by how prevalent that is. I did not know that. Sick.
So sorry, fellas. I need to be fucking with this shit. but it is. It's absolutely scary. And at the end of the day, like, you think about it, can't even fathom it. Can't even fucking fathom
no.
it.
No. No.
I mean, and there's no accountability for these people. And obviously, to be able to deal in those, you're either making money or you have a lot of money, so you're spending it. So there's no cheap way to get involved in the human trafficking stuff or the sex trafficking. There's no cheap way. So either I'm the guy who's out there recruiting them, stealing the girls, getting them ready to go to sell to whoever, and I'm going to make money, but you're giving them to someone who has a lot of money. So it insulates the regular. Like, there's no 7-Eleven version of this, like, or discount. Like, there's no Dollar General version of human trafficking. Like, this is all high end. So that's telling you the kind of people that are involved in this are very, very powerful, influential people. And then there's the guy, the underbelly people that are making the buck off of this and being able to make this stuff happen, probably for another rich person on the very other end who's their boss. But it's sick. Nothing ever happens. These Epstein people, how many powerful figures are going to get named that were on that island? I mean, there's on both sides of the aisle here. And then there's other people that are going on there telling you, like, Harvey Weinstein's a great guy. And then here he goes, he's in trouble. And it's just, I don't, there is a sick social class that we have of elitists in this world and our country that there's no checks and balances for them.
How can we live in the United States and fucking America and we don't have that list? I know they've released a few names, but
because they don't
want
to, Jeff. They know it will be. It's just like the Kennedy files. They don't want people to know what really happened. They're terrified of what people will do, and people will revolt because that's what will really happen. Then that will be the fall of the government.
Are we ever going to get the satisfaction of seeing a handful of, you know, like a freak idiot like Tom Hanks or Bill Clinton or any of these guys? You know,
no, they'll never face. If that's me trying to do that, I'm gone. I'm already in prison. I'm probably dead already, which deservingly so. I would deserve every second of it. But these people are insulated. I mean, you can't tell me that. And again, pick your side of the aisle, because there's massive corruption on both sides. And that's where I agreed totally with what Jeff was saying, is you got to be aware. Like, you're not going to be so far to one side or the other. Like, there's certain spots where I lean more to the left than normally you would think or whatever. But I'm never going on the massive extreme where I can't come to the middle ground and realize, okay, I maybe agree with this guy on one thing, but he's a bad guy or whatever. Like, you got to be able to see through that stuff. But you can't tell me people like the Clintons, who are connected to so much corruption in their lives, whether it's they're stealing with the Haiti, whether it's Bill's sexual escapades, whether it's do you guys think it's possible that 56 people that you were friends with or connected to are all committed suicide? Is that fucking possible?
No.
It's impossible.
Right.
They're having people killed. Everybody knows that. You got to be stupid not to. But, like, nothing will ever happen to them.
That's what I'm saying. It's crazy that nothing will ever happen.
And that's
in the United States of America. And actually, back to that point, I'll throw my own family underneath the bus. Obviously, filled with some good people. But I have some people that's not from this area, that's from the Pittsburgh neck of the woods, family-wise, that are pretty far right. And I'll be honest, we were having a Christmas conversation this past Christmas. And I was trying to explain exactly that. You know, and hey, you know what? Obviously, I'm more right side than I am anything. But at the end of the day, I'll never be so far right, nor do I ever understand the far left. And they looked at me like I had a third eye in the middle of my head. And because they could not, because I don't know if I had too many drinks and I couldn't explain myself well enough, or like it just wasn't protruding. I don't know what the problem was, but I'm voting that I walked away from that conversation. We were driving home. The wifey drove home. Just to make clear of that. Be safe. She goes, you know why you kept on trying to explain yourself and they weren't understanding? Because they are those fucking people.
Yeah. No, you're
so
right.
They can't see.
They didn't want to understand. Right?
They didn't want to understand. They are, unfortunately. And here's the deal. They're
you know
not
how many
like,
of them there are.
They're
there,
not the people that are fucking running on the Capitol thing. But they're just very pro-right. And they're probably a little too extreme, even for my blood. But when you're sitting there trying to have a normal conversation with someone, you're trying to explain, you know, sometimes, you know, I can see, like you said, there's some things that I can lean a little left on, but hands down, I'm more right. But they were like, I don't understand what you're talking about. And like, you're those people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and it's a problem. I've been in situations, and it takes a lot for me to feel uncomfortable. And I'm not going to say I've ever felt like super, super uncomfortable. But I know, Chris, you'd probably have been in, like, there's some times where I'll get with people at the club and they'll say things to me that are like almost too extreme for me. Like, and I'm like, and like I'm glad this is happening here and not like anywhere else, because it does make you say, like, my God, Are you that misinformed? Yeah, or like, where does your bigotry come? Like, I'm again, I can be as hateful as anybody or vengeful or whatever you want to call it. But I try to evaluate every situation differently. And you can't just predetermine or pre-label somebody. Like, you, there's certain times where, like, okay, this guy's a Democratic politician. It doesn't mean most of them are scumbags, but it doesn't mean there's not one decent one out there. Like, you don't have to hate everybody equally. It's, you got to evaluate. You got to use your brain. You have to be able to educate yourself enough to just not be so like, oh, I'm so this way or that way. It's a dangerous thing, and it's not going to be healthy for our world, our country, and for the future generations. You got to think on your feet, and you got to be able to just evaluate and make your own decisions. Don't listen to what other people tell you, because that usually doesn't work very well.
Use your brain.
We have those?
What the fuck is that, man? God, I'll be honest with you, that's just ridiculous. Use your brain. God.
Speaking of using your brain, how about Jarrett's boy Morgan Wallen tossing furniture off of a...
I just saw that before I came down here. What was
Nashville,
was he
doing? Nashville, a bar or something. Yep. But he did what Antonio Brown got, and then rightfully so. He's throwing porch or furniture off on down by a pool, almost killed a couple kids.
Was he just all...
I'm assuming.
Drunk?
Sunday night, 10:35 in Nashville, I would imagine he had a hell of a buzz going on. But I just think at the end of the day, and I'll be honest with you, I've made fuck up every day once again, but I cannot imagine being in that platform and doing something that dumb. That, God forbid, a chair kills somebody.
What if it kills somebody? And your life's over.
Life is over.
Well, his
well maybe.
Would be.
Maybe. Well, you're probably right, Chris. He get a second chance, probably.
No, that's when you were just talking about celebrities never getting in trouble, and these people that I don't get it. I never will. The infatuation with celebrities.
I don't get it either, Chris.
So like, if they did call out somebody in Hollywood, they would go nuts, like you said, because that's my hero, or I love that girl or that guy, he's the greatest, and they fawn over.
It's a protected class.
Yeah. So, so Morgan Wallen, he'd get a slap on the wrist no matter what he did. He could throw.
So you probably get like at least manslaughter if you killed somebody. Any of us would. He'd probably get off with probation.
Misdemeanor or something. Yeah.
Time served.
Yeah. Yeah, fuck those guys. Fuck that 100%. Guy, too.
Did you guys ever see the movie Bronx Tale? It'll be relevant to what I'm about to say.
No.
It's a great mob movie. If you haven't seen it, it's a great fucking flick. But in one of it, the little boy Colangelo is talking about he's crying because Mickey Mantle, they lost a game. And the big mob guy's like, couldn't understand why he was so upset. He's like, Mickey Mantle ever pay for your dinner? Mickey Mantle, does he pay for your rent? Like, don't be upset that Mickey Mantle, blah, blah, this and that. And we've talked about this on this show. Like, people, there's truly nobody that I would ever be starstruck. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Mm-hmm. It's not that wouldn't want to meet somebody. But for me to go up and show another human being that I'm fucking googly-eyed over, I would be, to me, would be like a letdown in my eyes.
Do you think that goes to just people's own inner workings, like their self-esteem, they're
like, doubt. Like you see these concerts, and I'll do to the Swifties, or and it's not even just the Swifties, there's just so many people that will be sitting there fucking bawling.
Crying. Yeah, it's like they worship the entertainer.
That's
dangerous,
that's,
man.
That's not in my wheelhouse.
What about the guys that knock the kids out of the way to get the autographs? The grown guys. No, I agree with you, Jeff. Like, you got, there's a different between respect and then just like going overboard with somebody. But I would never ever feel that way either. Like, they're just regular people, and you should treat them like that. But I'm sure that's how they would want to be treated too. But
normalize it, right?
Our society's so fucking messed up. Do you guys have any before we get ready to wrap up? Do you guys have any confidence in like our judicial system anymore, or our government? I mean, I was thinking about that today. Like, where can you have any confidence? Do you ever feel like people are being honest with you at the top? Because I don't. Whether it's the vaccine pushing or whatever else, I mean, just the government's a disaster, and then the legal system, which we were just saying, if you got money, you get out. If you don't have money, you go behind bars, or you're a target of whatever, the police brutality or whatever. It's really concerning. It really makes me not want to fuck up enough where I'd ever have to be involved with any of that stuff.
To answer your question, Matt, no, unfortunately. I try to stay a pretty positive cat, but I just don't see an end in sight. The cliche of money is the root of all evil, it lives out to be the truth every goddamn day. As much as I got done saying that I love money, but I still wouldn't let me drive decisions or step over somebody to get the money or whatever the case might be. No. None of that. I really wish, and this is rainbows and butterflies, and I know it's never going to fucking happen. It would be really cool for the the Chris Pavlichs of the world to run for office. Mm. We can relate. As much as I love a fucking Jim Justice and he fucking makes me laugh and I respect a lot of people say he's just a dumb fucking hick. Well, here's the deal. You're not a fucking billionaire if you're a dumb fucking hick. Obviously, he's got to have some scruples.
He pays his taxes, baby.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, I can't relate to Jim Justice. Right. I can't. At the end of the day, right? Yeah. So there is more of us that are more the, and I don't even want to say class, but we'll just throw out the middle class America that work hard every day, put in their time, collect a paycheck every 2 weeks. It'd be really cool to have some of those people representing us.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's what life would, that would be. And then I think we would maybe have some, maybe get back to some faith and stuff like that.
Part of the reason Trump won the first time was because of that. He related. I know it's impossible to think that you can relate to a billionaire can relate to you, but he did. He hit a lot of people right in the heart and right in their minds, and he opened up an something that they never seen before, an anti-politician. So those people are out there.
Yeah.
Just got to find them.
And he scared the hell out of those people.
He still is.
Yeah. He's still in their heads, man. That was fucking 20,
yeah, this is
going to
be
ago.
A hell of a few months here.
But they're going to have to take away the financial end of that, right? They're going to have to take where it costs so much money to run. You have to be able to get your share of voice. It costs money. Obviously, I can imagine like some of these local guys that are even doing like whether it be the mayor run or whatever. I like to know, like, how much money are they fucking putting out of their own pockets to try to win
like
a city
like
election?
Your buddy that was on our show, Paul.
Paul, Ailey. Yeah, Paul. Yeah, I don't know if Paul has much of an internet platform, but that's really important nowadays. Obviously, important. That propaganda and both sides. It's amazing how both sides will blame like the propaganda networks of the other one for like influencing the election. Like they did. It's amazing how much blame out there goes around these social media companies. You talk about another evil sector on our planet. I will say one thing. I got to give Elon Musk, a guy's a brilliant guy. And some of the things that he's done and said recently and when he's changed Twitter to X or whatever is kind of refreshing because he's realizing there's a problem out there. Mm-hmm. So that's good because those other guys, Zuckerberg and some of them, man, they look like just
poor Elon's gonna end up fucking dead though. That's gonna be the problem. You're gonna have some, honestly they're just gonna eliminate this
guy.
Yeah,
you're
too.
Right, you're right.
It does take a lot of balls, and I'll be honest, I know there's a lot of underground people talk about like people try to knock off Trump. I'm surprised that fucking hasn't happened. At the end of the day, there's so many, because obviously like he's so anti-establishment and those people just don't make it in the world anymore, and I'm say sick, that tongue in cheek, but I mean it is sad. But they just eliminate them.
Some couple people is some of these political shows that I'll watch that aren't like mainstream ones, but they talk about how important it is for the other side to have that villain. So that's part of the reason why no one will kill him. I mean, you're still going to have some extremists that could, so I'm with you there. But like, there's no coordinated effort because deep down, all those people on the other side of the aisle, they love having him as a target to shoot at because they think it's helping their campaign. It's helping drive their message. He's the Antichrist. He's Hitler. He's this. He's that. So they have that to fixate on. But you're right. You can't escape those alt-left and alt-right people that would do that. I'm surprised President Obama survived, to be honest.
I'll be honest, and I agree with that. And it's sad to say that, but I don't disagree.
Yeah, I thought one of those radical right-wing groups would kill him for sure, but...
It's unbelievable.
I don't
really
know about even shed a tear, but obviously not wishing for anybody's death, but that guy's a piece of shit. And he destroyed this country.
Yep,
mark it
did.
Down. And he did more damage to this country and the great unifier he was not, that's for sure. But fellas, do you want to hit on anything else before we wrap up?
Anything good on there? Are we good?
I was just going to go through and just talk a couple of things. North Atlantic Beer Mile, May 4th. Don't forget that. You can sign up right now online, waterfronthall.com/fest. We're going to have live bands, vendors all day. Kentucky Derby watch party follows. That is May 4th down at Waterfront Fest, down at Waterfront Hall. Going to be a good one. The guys, again, are Ignite West Virginia, Bridging
Let's
Innovation Week.
Let's go.
We'll keep you posted on that one. You can check us out on the Watchdog on Friday. Friday's show, we'll probably have some. Well, hopefully, I'm not the only one that's alive. The Delbrug household hopefully is functioning.
We
have a positive outcome of everything, and everybody's in good spirits. So tune in for that one. Nailers are back home this weekend for a couple of games as they finish out the regular season. Hopefully, they can get a couple wins, get into playoffs, and hopefully, we'll be down there checking those out. Let's see what else. Oh, thanks to IC Cav sponsoring the show. Zambito Flooring America, amazing sponsor. And real quick before we go, Four Seasons Simulated Golf and Bar. Thanks again to Ricky for hosting us last Thursday. It was awesome time. I was the commentator. Real quick thoughts on that. It was an awesome venue, great setting.
Very nice.
But the golf wasn't what I expected.
So much fun. But man, when you're fucking bad, it just makes golf fucking miserable. And I am bad. God, I'm so bad.
Thanks to Ricky. I think he picked up our bar tab. And,
yeah, and Tim Roberts was very gracious. Good to see him.
Atmosphere, people drank, former all Thunderbird, phenomenal. Right? Yeah. The golf was great. Mine is just being horrible at golf.
So, it's all right. We'll get better. So be sure and check it out. Four Seasons Simulated Golf and Bar up at the Highlands, right by Nini's Treasure there, right off the side of the One Hotel. It's a really good experience. If you like golf, if you're just getting into golf, I advise you to check it out. Mm-hmm. Thanks again to Ricky and Zambito Flooring America, IC Cab, Jules Gentleman's Club, Gumby's, Figuretti's, Generations. Congratulations to Monroe Central, who won Lunch Madness. Coach and Jubb will be out there, I believe, Monday. Presenting them with their prize, the PlayStation 5 winner, the TV, all that cool stuff. So if you need to catch up on anything Pine Room Studios related, check us out on YouTube, on social media. Everywhere else you can basically think of, we're all over the platforms out there. So at the Pine Room Studios, we got our website that Timo did. Is it the Pine Room or pineroomstudios.com? Yeah, I meant to write that down. I forgot to. So, but check that out. That's new and improved. We got all of our bios on there. If you want to read a little bit more about the cast of characters here, we all have bios on there. Timo, our boy, Todd Morrison, did a wonderful job there. And thanks to him and Jubb for getting them all the materials. And, all right, guys, I think that'll do it for us this week. Episode 105. Many of the boys will be back next week, and we'll see what happens. We got lots happening here in the Pioneer, so keep your eyes open for us as the summer progresses. Good?
Good afternoon.
I'm good. Good night.
All right, that'll do it for us here. Jubb will be back in the chair next week. Have a great weekend, everybody. We'll see you next week in the Pine Room. Peace.